إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد الدرس السادس عشر من شرح الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة class number 16 from the explanation of important lessons for all Muslims Sheikh bin Baz رحمه الله تعالى today inshallah ta'ala we're going to go ahead and read the explanation of the second pillar of Iman الإيمان بالملائكة الإيمان بالملائكة to believe in the angels. Remember that there are six pillars of Iman. The first of those pillars is الإيمان بالله, belief in Allah. And the second of those pillars, six pillars of Iman, الإيمان بالملائكة, belief in the angels. The definition first, the definition of angels. The linguistic meaning in the Arabic language. The Arabic word for angels is malaika. Is malaika. And the singular is malak. And the singular is malak. It was said that it was derived from the word uluka and other things. There are other opinions as well regarding its root meaning. Malaika is the plural. The singular is malak. Its definition as an Islamic term, what is angels, malaika, in Islam? A creation from the realm of the unseen, the world of the unseen. Because we don't see angels. They exist. But we don't see them. But we believe they exist because Allah told us they exist. And the Prophet ﷺ affirmed that they exist. Angels are created from light. And they worship Allah. So these are three things you remember. They are from the world of the unseen. We don't see them. And even though we don't see them, they do exist. Because Allah tells us about them. And also they are created from light. And they worship Allah. That's the third point, they worship Allah. The angels have no share in the qualities of rububiyyah and uluhiyyah. Because that's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we already discussed what it means rububiyyah, what it means uluhiyyah. So you refer to the previous chapters and classes. Rububiyyah and uluhiyyah is for Allah. So the angels, they mighty creatures, but they have no share whatsoever in the rububiyyah nor in the uluhiyyah. Allah granted them the level of total submission to His commands, as well as the strength to carry out those commands. Unlike the human being, some human being, they worship Allah in a better manner and a better way than others. Actually, many people are not even worshipping Allah. They worship other things. And from those minority that they worship Allah, they're not on the same level. Some, they good at it. Some, mashallah, they're not. The angels, no, it's not. This not applicable on the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the level of total submission. to his commands. They don't just act upon some commands and don't act as total submission to the commands of Allah, as well as the strength. Allah gave him the strength to carry out those commands. Allah Almighty says in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, ayat 19 and 20, وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ وَلَا يَسْتَحْسِرُونَ يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. To him, meaning to Allah, belongs whosoever in the heavens and on the earth. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are near him, i.e. the angels, are not too proud to worship him, nor are they weary of his worship. They don't get tired of worshiping Allah and change their mind like some human beings do. Sometimes they worship, sometimes they like, man, that's it, it's tired. No. They constantly worship Allah. They, meaning the angels, glorify his praises night and day, and they never slacken to do so. They always do it the same way, the right way. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them in the same surah, Surah Al-Anbiya, verses 26 and 27, بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ. They are but honored slaves, angels, honored slaves of Allah. They speak not until He, Allah, has spoken, and they act on His command. These are the angels. So once again, the plural of angels, the Arabic word for angels is Malaika. And Malaika is a plural of Malak in Arabic. They are a creation from the world of the unseen. And Allah created them from light, and they worship Allah. That's all they do. They never stop worshiping Allah, get weary of that. They act upon the commands of Allah, never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah grant them the level of total submission to His commands, and also the strength to carry out those commands. Now a point here, the belief of the Arab polytheists regarding the angels before the advent of Islam. Some history now, the Shaykh is bringing the history. The belief of the Arab polytheists, Mushriku al-Arab, regarding the angels before the advent of Islam. Meaning before the Prophet ﷺ brought them the ayats of Allah pertaining to who the angel and who they are and where they created from and all this. The Arabs, they used to have some belief. They have some ideas and knowledge about the angels. Let's see if that belief was right or wrong. The Shaykh says the people of ignorance in the period before Islam claimed that the angels were the daughters of Allah. See? That's very bad. And that's wrong. They claim that the angels were the daughters of Allah. Far above Allah is from what they say. Because Allah has no children, no sons, no daughters. But the Arabs, that was their belief before Islam. That the angels, who are the angels? They said, oh, daughters of Allah. Far above Allah is from what they say. Allah Almighty refuted them, clarifying that they have no knowledge thereof, as in Surah As-Safat, As-Safat, chapter 37, ayah 150 and 151 and 152. أم خلقنا الملائكة إناثا وهم شاهدون ألا إنهم من إفكهم ليقولون ولد الله وإنهم لكاذبون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or did we create the angels, females, while they were witnesses? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to them. He says, you're saying that they are females. Were you there to see were they are females or not? Of course they were not there. Verily, it is of their falsehood that they say, meaning the pagans, the Qurayshi pagans, they say, Allah has begotten offspring or children, meaning angels are the daughters of Allah, and verily they are liars. Verily they are liars. Another point the Shaykh mentioned, belief in the angels. It's like a title. This when I tell you another point, meaning you can highlight it as a title, and then the explanation. Belief in the angels. Belief in the angels is the second pillar of faith. And what this pillar means is for us to believe with certainty. This is important. Because a lot of people, you ask them, you believe in the angels? Yeah, believe in the angels. What does it mean? This is what it is. This is the importance of studying the books of the ulama. Believe in the angels means is for us to believe with certainty that Allah has angels that exist. They are created from light and they do not disobey Allah in what He orders them while they perform that which they are commanded. So that's what it means. If somebody tell you, what does it mean having belief in the angels as a pillar of Iman? He says, we believe that they do exist. That's the first thing. We don't deny them just because we don't see them. They do exist because Allah informs us that they exist. And also we believe that they are created from light, not from something else. Not from dirt, not from this, not from fire. They create from light. And also, they always obey Allah's commands. They never disobey Allah's commands, never. Another title, proofs indicating that it is obligatory to have belief in them. Sheikh now is going to bring belief, proofs. From the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is obligatory to believe. It's not just whoever wants to believe that they exist, he believe, and whoever doesn't. No, it's not a choice. It's not an option. It is obligatory to believe in the angels, and here are the proofs. Number one, Allah Almighty says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Verse 285, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله. The messenger believes in what has been sent down to him from his Lord, and so do the believers. Each one believes in Allah, his angels, his books and his messengers. See, believe in Allah, his angels. That's the first proof. And this is the ayah before the last one in Surah Al-Baqarah. Proof number two, Allah Almighty says in Surah Al-Baqarah as well, but in this time in ayah 177. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين. It is not البر And this bir is a comprehensive Arabic word that means all of these followings, piety, righteousness, and each and every act of obedience to Allah. So Allah said, it is not al-bir that you turn your faces towards east and or west in prayers, but al-bir is the quality of the one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the book, the prophets, etc. to the end of the ayah. Once again, this is a proof to believe in the angel, and it is from birr, it is from obedience to Allah, it's from good things, it's from piety, it's from righteousness to believe in the angels. Also, Allah Almighty said in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, ayah 136. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. And whosoever disbelieves in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, then indeed he has strayed far away. Person, he's far away, stray, so he's not guided, he's not upon the right thing because of these things. And one of these things is that person does not believe in the angels. The Shaykh mentioned a hadith when Jibreel asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about iman. This is in the hadith of Umar. The second hadith in the fourth hadith of Imam al-Nawawi. Because Jibreel alayhi salam, he came in a form of a man once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was among his companions. And Jibreel began to ask questions. The first question was about Islam. What is Islam? And this one here, he asked about iman. What is iman? Inform me about iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, iman, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. Iman is that you believe in Allah, in His angels, see? In His angels. That's iman. In His books, in His messengers, in the last day, and to believe in divine preordainment. Both the good of it and the bad of it. You believe in these things. So, belief in the angels is a part of what was included as iman in this hadith. Because their existence is supported by irrefutable proof. And to reject their existence is disbelief. To reject the existence of angels. Because some people, just because they don't see it, they say, no, they don't exist. Why they don't exist? Well, we don't see them. So, such person, you tell them, do you see your intellect? They say, no, so you have no intellect then. You're crazy. Right or wrong? Or somebody tell them, do you see electricity? That run in the wires? Do you see it with your eye? No, them, so it doesn't exist. Alhamdulillah for Islam. Allah tells us they do exist. They do exist with us. We see them, we don't see them. That's not for us. We believe in them. To reject their existence is disbelief, a ruling that is established by the consensus of the Muslims, meaning the scholars who have the knowledge of this deen. Disbelief in them is disbelief in the clear verses of the Quran and sayings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another title or subtitle, if you want to, belief in the angels comprises of the following. Belief in the angels is comprised of the following. Number one, we must believe that they exist. And once again, because Allah tells us, and the Prophet ﷺ informed us, and that's enough for us. And if somebody, well, you may hear somebody say, no, they do not exist, and this and that, you don't believe that stuff. You believe in what Allah says. We must believe that they exist. Number two, we must believe in those angels that we know the names of, and of course through revelation, not through people and stories of the past. Those whom their names are known to us through revelation, so Quran and Sunnah, we believe in those names, such as Jibreel. Okay, Jibreel is the name of an angel. Why we believe that Jibreel is the name of one angel? Because Allah tells us in the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ tells us in the Sunnah. Those that we do not know, we believe in their existence in general. I mean, we don't know their names. So we believe in general that the angels exist. But those that Allah allow us to know their names, whether in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, we affirm those names to them. It's like in the masjid, right or wrong. You believe that a lot of people come for Jumu'ah, right? Do you know all of their names? Some of them you know their names. But just because you don't know some of them names that you know they're not there, no, they're there, but you just don't know their names. But those who you know their names, you call them by their names. Likewise, the angels we know with their names, alhamdulillah. Number three, we must believe in their qualities, which we learn of through revelation, meaning through the Quran and the Sunnah, such as the description of Jibreel, alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that he saw him, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel, in the image that he was created, in a natural image. And Jibreel had 600 wings, Allahu Akbar, that blocked the horizon. SubhanAllah. Mighty creature. Abdullah. 600 wings, akhi. Allahu Akbar. Angels may also take the shape of men, such as happened with Jibreel, alayhi salam, in the hadith, wherein he asked about Iman and Islam and Ihsan, and about the signs of the hour, okay? And about the hour too. Number four, we must believe in those of their actions that we learn also through revelation, the Quran and Sunnah. What they do, the angels, what they do. See, like us, we're human beings. We go to sleep, we eat, we go to work, we do things like this and that. How do we know this? Because we live. We're human beings and we know what we do and we know what other people do. Some of the things that people do. But how do we know what the angels do? The angels don't live amongst us. We don't see them, what they do. Do they sleep? Do they eat? What they do? We don't know these things. That's why the only way you know some of their actions, if they are mentioned in the revelation, Quran or Sunnah. For instance, they glorify Allah and worship Him day and night. That's what we learn this from revelation, that they glorify Allah and worship Him day and night. It is in their nature to obey Allah, and they do not have the ability to disobey Him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah At-Tahrim, chapter 66, ayah 6. So that's 666 right there. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They do not disobey Allah from executing His commands, the command they receive from Him, but do that which they are commanded. They never refuse or disobey the commands of Allah that they receive from Him. They always act upon them. Keep in mind, as for us human beings, some of us, we act upon some commands, some other commands, we don't act upon them. May Allah have mercy on us. Make us better, ameen. For them, avoiding sins and performing acts of obedience is natural. They expend no efforts in this regard because they have no desires or lusts. Some angels may have certain tasks specific to them, such as Jibril alayhi salam, who is the one entrusted with Allah's revelation. See, that's his task from Allah, that he's entrusted with Allah's revelation. Allah sends him to the prophets and messengers. Allah Almighty said in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, that's chapter 26, the two ayat 193 and 194. نزل به الروح الأمين على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين. Which the trustworthy Jibril alayhi salam has brought down upon your heart, that so you may be of the warners. I mean the Quran, the revelation. Mikael is the angel who is entrusted with the rain and vegetation. Mikael, another angel, alayhi salam, what is his task from Allah? He's entrusted with the rain and vegetation. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu related this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. Idris, ta'ala habub, ta'ala, ijlis. بين رجل بفلاة من الأرض فسمع صوتا في سحابة اسق حديقة فلان فتنحى ذلك السحاب فأفرغ ماءه في حرة فإذا شرجة من تلك الشراج قد استوعبت ذلك الماء كله فتتبع الماء فإذا رجل قائم في حديقته يحول الماء بمسحاته فقال له يا عبد الله ما اسمك؟ قال فلان للاسم الذي سمع في السحابة. فقال له يا عبد الله لما تسألني عن اسمي؟ فقال إني سمعت صوتا في السحاب الذي هذا ماؤه يقول اسقي حديقة فلان لاسمك فما تصنع فيها؟ قال أما إذ قلت هذا فإني أنظر إلى ما يخرج منها فأتصدق بثلثه وآكل أنا وعيالي ثلثا وأرد فيها ثلثه. Listen to this hadith. As a man was standing in a vast open space of land. This is a man who was just standing in this vast open space of land. He heard a voice in the cloud saying, this man, he looked, there is a cloud, but there is a voice come from the clouds. Supply water to the garden of so-and-so. So the cloud left its place and emptied its water in an area. A waterway absorbed all of the water that fell from the sky. That man who heard that voice followed the water until he reached a man who was standing in his garden, diverting the water with his shovel. The man said, O servant of Allah, to the one who is in his garden, O servant of Allah, what is your name? He gave him his name. And the man in the garden asked, O servant of Allah, Why do you ask me my name? Why are you asking me my name? So he said to him, I indeed heard a voice in the same clouds from which this water came, saying, supply water to the garden of so-and-so. And the name I heard was yours. Then what will you do with it? He said, what do you do in this garden? What do you do? He said, he says, because of what he says, I'll tell you what I do. I wait until, and they see what comes out of the earth, meaning the provision, fruits or whatever, vegetables or whatever he has in there, or dates. Or he said, I will give 1/3 of it in charity. When he harvests whatever he has in that garden, which is, this is a good thing, this is a good man. He said, once I harvest, I give 1/3 of it in charity to the poor people. I will eat 1/3 of it along with my family. And I will return 1/3, meaning as grains, he give to plant more. The Sheikh said this hadith referring to the angels who divert the rain according to Allah's will. There is an angel who is entrusted with the trumpet. And his name is Israfil. Israfil. Peace be upon him. He will blow into it, meaning into the trumpet, twice by Allah's command. The first time he blows it, people will become terrified and swoon away. And the second blowing is for the resurrection, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, آية 68. ونفخ في الصور فصعق من في السماوات ومن في الأرض إلا من شاء الله ثم نفخ فيه أخرى فإذا هم قيام ينظرون. And the trumpet will be blown, and all who are in the heavens and all who are on the earth will swoon away, except him whom Allah wills. Then it will be blown, meaning the trumpet, a second time. And behold, they will be standing, looking on, waiting. So those, how many angels so far? 3 angels. We know their names and what is their tasks. Jibril alayhi salam, he's the one who brings revelation from Allah to the prophets and the messengers, alayhim assalatu wassalam. Mika'il, he's entrusted with the rain and vegetations. And Israfil, entrusted with the blowing in the trumpets, twice. Another angel we know of is the one entrusted with the task of taking souls, Malakul Maut, the angel of death. And we also know that he has helpers. There are angels that come with him, as occurs in the hadith. Allah Almighty, Almighty said in Surah As-Sajdah, chapter 32, verse 11, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Say, the angel of death who is set over you will take your souls, then you shall be brought to your Lord. Some angels are the keepers of paradise, as their task. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 73, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ تِبْتُمْ فَادْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ. And those who keep their duty to their Lord will be led to paradise in groups. Those who were righteous and do good things. Till when they reach it, and its gates will be opened before their arrivals for their reception, and its keepers will say, see, these are the angels, the keepers of the paradise, will say to them, Salamun alaykum, peace be upon you. You have done well, so enter here to abide therein. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya Rabb. May Allah make us from them. Ameen. There are other angels who are the keepers of the hellfire. They called Az-Zabaniyah. And they are in 19 in number. At their forefront is Malik. Allah Almighty says in Surah Al-Muddathir, chapter 74, ayah 27 to 31. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سَقَرْ لَا تُبَقِي وَلَا تَذَرْ لواحة للبشر عليها 19 وما جعلنا أصحاب النار إلا ملائكة. And what will make you know exactly what hellfire is? It spares not any sinner, nor does it leave anything unburnt, burning and blackening the skins. Over it are 19 angels as guardians and keepers of hell. See, that's the proof. And we have set none but angels as guardians of the fire. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa al-afiyah. May Allah protect us and you ameen from the fire. And Allah Almighty says in Surah Az-Zukhruf, chapter 43, Ayah 77, Muhammad Amin, Uktub. وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. And they will cry, O Malik, keeper of hell, let your Lord make an end of us. He will say, verily you shall abide forever. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then there are the angels that protect men in all situations. And they are called Al-Mu'aqibat. Al-Mu'aqibat. Allah Almighty says in Surah Al-Ra'd, chapter 13, verse 11, له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله. For each person there are angels in succession, before and behind him. They guard him by the command of Allah. Also Allah says in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 61, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظَهُ. He is the irresistible, supreme over his slaves. And he sends guardians over you, meaning angels guarding and writing all of one's good and bad deeds. There are some angels who are entrusted with the fetus in the womb. When the fetus has spent 4 months in the womb, Allah sends an angel and orders the angel to write his provision, meaning of that fetus, still in the womb of his mother, his lifespan, his deeds and whether he will be miserable or happy. And she too. This is for boy and girl. All of this is established in a hadith related by Muslim and narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. There are also angels that are responsible for questioning the dead person when he is put in his grave. They ask him about his Lord, his religion, and his prophet. These two is established in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another title now, after we read to you some of the tasks and of the angels, their relation to men. Their relation to men. Allah Almighty has entrusted the angels with tasks related to different kinds of creation. From among them is men. In fact, the angels have a very strong attachment with men from the very early stages of his development, from the time he is merely semen. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, mentions the close relationship between angels and men in Ighathatul Lahfan. This is one of his books, Ighathatul Lahfan. He says, Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, says, indeed, they, meaning the angels, are entrusted in shaping men and in moving him along from one stage to the next. They are entrusted to protect the fetus in the three levels of darkness. They are even responsible for writing man's provision, deeds, lifespan, and whether he or she will be miserable or happy. Indeed, angels stick close to man in all situations, listing his sayings and deeds. They are responsible for protecting man. When we say man, meaning the man, including the man and the woman, okay? They are responsible for protecting man while he is alive and for taking away his soul when he dies, and therefore presenting that soul before its creator and maker. In the grave and in the hereafter, they are responsible for executing his punishments and rewards, and they are responsible for the instruments used to give both punishment and reward. The angels have a special relationship with the believer, is Ibn al-Qayyim still saying. The angels have a special relationship with the believer, for by the will of Allah, they support him. And during battle, they defend him. They are his helpers in this world and in the hereafter. And they are the ones who not only supplicate for him, but also call him to good and forbid him from evil. They are his helpers, meaning angels help men. They are his helpers, supporters, protectors, teachers, advisors. And they are the ones who supplicate for him. And Allah Almighty, and ask Allah Almighty to forgive him and pray for him as long as he is obeying his Lord. They, meaning the angels, they also continue to pray for him as long as he is teaching good to others. While he is asleep, when he is dead, and when he is resurrected, on these occasions, they give him glad tidings of Allah's generosity and rewards. They advise him to seek little from this world and much from the hereafter. They remind him when he forgets, invigorate him when he becomes lazy. They make him firm when he is afraid, and they strive for his welfare in both this life and the hereafter. On the other hand, they do not love the disbelievers, the oppressors, and the wrongdoers. Rather, they show enmity toward them, waging war against them, making their hearts shake. The angels send punishment upon them by Allah's will, and they curse them. They are Allah's messengers among the creation, and they are the ambassadors between Allah and His worshippers. They execute His commands all over the world, and they raise matters up to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the end of statement of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. The Shaykh says, the proofs in the Qur'an and Sunnah regarding the above require much space to enumerate. They are well known, however, and some of them we have already mentioned. The last point of today, class, and also we conclude with it, this talk about believing the angels, the fruits of believing in the angels. What is the benefits and fruits of believing the angels? The Shaykh, he says, believing the angels reaps many fruits. Among them are the following. Number one appreciates the greatness, strength, and power of Allah. For greatness in the creation results from the greatness of the Creator. Number two, one must be thankful to Allah for the care He shows to the children of Adam, whereby some angels are entrusted to protect men, to write his deeds, and to do other tasks that are related to the welfare of men. And number three, one must love the angels because of their prodigious worship of Allah Almighty. I said that right? Prodigious. Prodigious. Worship of Allah Almighty. I mean, they constantly worship Allah day and night. Never stop, never get tired, all that. May Allah grant us strength, to worship Him continuously. May Allah make us better worshippers and better slaves. May Allah put in hearts the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love His book, His messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love for Sunnah, for Islam, for the believers. And may Allah make us patience, give us patience. May Allah teach us our religion. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa tasliman kathira. The next class, we inshallah ta'ala, we talk about the third pillar of Iman, believing the revealed books. Al-Imanu bil-Kutub.